This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Hey, this is Brooke from the McClymonds, and you're listening to Q Country on Joy 94.9.
Your new album, Two Worlds Collide, what was the inspiration for the title?
For those that are not sure of us girls, we've been pretty much travelling back and forth, you know, to America, to Australia for the last 3 years. And we've been pretty much chasing summers, as we like to call it. We haven't had winter for a while, which is not a bad thing, because I'm not really good in the cold. But, you know, when we wrote Two Worlds Collide, the three of us girls looked at each other and went, this has to be the title of our next album. It's too obvious for us because we've been back and forth and we're neither here nor there. So it was kind of this thing of we're constantly, you know, back and forth from two countries. So Two Worlds Collide just seemed very appropriate.
After the success of Wrapped Up Good, did you feel a pressure this time going into the studio?
We didn't actually, and I don't know whether it's because we've got the three of us and we're sisters and we just kind of have each other who have the support, we did have 12 months to write and record this album, which is a long time. Usually you only get like a few months to write and record an album and you're like, you're frazzled. But for us, we had so much time to make this record, which I think, you know, hopefully we got it right. I think we did. I believe we've made one of our best records yet. So there was no pressure. I think the only pressure, you know, we could feel is the pressure we put on ourselves of wanting to make sure that we've made a really good record. But, you know, time will tell and the fans will let us know if they like it or not. I personally think it's one of the best albums we've done. But again, it's not up to me. It's up to the fans.
Now, you've come out fighting with the first single. How long have you known? Can you tell me about the single?
Look, that was written at the beginning of last year and when we were starting to look for songs for the record. And we were sitting down in the songwriting session. I was with Nathan Chapman, who produced that single and who I wrote with. We're sitting down with another guy who was in the writing session. He just came in and he just was like all heartbroken. I think his girlfriend was just about to dump him and he knew it. And it's like, I just know she's been wanting to dump me for ages. And I just got the giggles because I'm thinking, here's this nearly mid-40-year-old kind of guy. He seemed like a teenager and he was so upset, which I thought was very sweet. And I just went, can I write a song about this? It's kind of interesting seeing, you know, how you're reacting from a male's point of view. And because, you know, as a female, I don't get to see that ever. And, you know, so that's where the song stemmed from. And it was really just one of those things. He was laughing by the end of it going, oh, my God, I do sound really silly, don't I? And I'm just going, it's cool, man. You know, we've all been there. But yeah, that's how it came about. And it was just a really strong song. So we wrote it in half an hour. And it just kind of flowed out of us. Because he had so much to say. It was easy and it came from the heart. I mean, this situation, it wasn't actually happening to me, but I actually have been through it. So, you know, it's something that I think everyone can relate to. And
you followed it up with Piece of Me, a bittersweet ballad. Now, initially I thought it was about a breakup, but it's deeper than that. It's about the separation of family and loved ones.
You got it. It's not about breaking up at all. It's definitely about being away from our family and friends and mainly our loved ones. And Samantha's actually the singer on this song. She sings this single. And she wrote it as well, and I just, as soon as she came back after she'd written it, we just were like, Sam, you totally nailed where we are at with how we are. Because, I mean, last year we spent, you know, Sam, I think, spent 5 months away from her boyfriend. And wow. That's such a long time to be away from someone. And, you know, they do it. And, I mean, I didn't have to do it that long. I think I had only had to do a month without seeing my husband. But, you know, I think anyone who is in, whether they're a muser or whether they travel for work, it's, you know, they will understand this song. And it's pretty much a personal song, Sam, to a boyfriend, which I just love. And it had to be the next single because it just pulled at too many heartstrings.
On the production side, you worked with Nathan Chapman, who you'd worked with previously. But you also worked with Peter Usher and Luke Wooden. Was that a deliberate effort on your part to push yourselves and challenge your own direction?
Do you know what? In hindsight, yes, it was. That was part of the reason. But also, another reason was time. We really, you know, all the producers at one time were too busy. They couldn't do the whole record either. So it actually was, it kind of worked out that they could only do bits and pieces here and there. So So it was kind of a bit of both. We wanted to branch out and try new producers, which was great because we got two, but they all just were too busy to do a whole record. So we got the best of both worlds, which was excellent.
I want to ask you about the US. It can't have been easy breaking into that market. As three strong and independent women, did you feel yourself compared to the Dixie Chicks?
You know, initially people go, oh, you guys are the next Dixie Chicks. And then they listen to our music and then they go, oh, actually, you're nothing like the Dixie Chicks, really. And it's like, oh, cool, that's a good thing. They're great to be compared to. We love it. They're a good band and, you know, we listened to them growing up. So for us, it is a hard market to break out into in America, but, you know, if you don't try at it, you never know. You know, we feel like we've been really successful regardless whether we've had a number one or not. It's not about that for us. It's just the fact that we get to play music and we get, you know, music's taking us all over the world.
Now, you've toured with my favourite boyfriend of the year, Mr. Jason Aldean.
That's awesome. Yes, we did. He's a really cool dude. You know, we got to know his band and we got to know him, and we're traveling in convoy all the time. And it was a really great experience. I mean, he was doing arenas by the time we were working. I think he's even gotten bigger since we've toured with him. But, you know, he's just done so well. He's won Album of the Year. He's just like, he's a huge, huge artist in America now. And again, another lucky break that we had was to tour with him and get to know him. And it's nice when you're at, you know, a massive function and you're feeling like you're so intimidated by everyone, and then Jason Aldean walks up to us and goes, hey girls, how you going? You're like, oh gosh, thanks. You feel, it's kind of weird because, you know, we know each other, and it just makes it all that more, you know, more relaxing. And then I think everyone just kind of turns around and goes, oh wow, that's pretty cool.
How do you find audiences vary between Australia and the US?
You know what? I think it's just population. That's the only thing that I can see different. Like, there's just so many people that go to the festivals there. And, I mean, country music is just such a loyal fan base. It's massive. I think it's like the second highest genre of music in America. So it's definitely well looked after.
You've performed at the mecca for country music, the Grand Ole Opry. What was that like? It must have been quite surreal.
It was, actually. It was really weird because we were given the call and we had like 2 days to, like, we found out 2 days before we were singing at the Grand Ole Opry, and we got there and it was like, it was just a blur because it was so quick and it went so fast, and we're like, oh my gosh, the three of us came off just going, did you remember what happened just then? Like, that's, you know, you feel like when you're going to sing at the Grand Ole Opry, I always thought you're going to have weeks notice, you're going to be prepared, you're going to, like, get in the zone, where we just did, and it happened so quickly. And then we're like, oh no, I can't remember it. About a week later, we got the call back going, girls, you're invited to sing again. And we just went, oh my goodness, that's fantastic. Now, at least this time we know what we're doing, like, we know what's happening. And we took it in the second time. So we're really lucky that we got the chance to do it again, because the first time just went way too fast.
You've made Nashville your home in the US. Can you describe Nashville for me?
There's music on 7 days a week in Nashville. Yep. It's amazing. Like, you can go out, you can pay $5 to go see, you know, Buddy Miller. It's amazing. Like, it's just so cheap. Everything's just really affordable and it's accessible, and it's just fabulous. And I don't know, music's just in really good hands in America. And I think it does help because of the population. I mean, there's 300 million people in America alone, and, you know, they can pretty much, you know, fund it, which is great. The people fund music and they love seeing music, and it's just a different culture. Yep. It's just, it's amazing. It really is incredible to be there and to just see so much talent in one town.
It seems that everyone is going to Nashville at the moment, and I think it's fantastic that they're embracing our Australian talent.
You know what? They do, and I just think that's so nice of them. Like, they really don't, it's, you know, country music isn't just for Americans. They really let all of us in. All the international folks in, there's enough room for everybody, and it's just great to see, and it's really nice of them to, you know, to give us a go. Yep. Everyone a go.
When can we expect to see you back in Australia for a tour?
We're coming home at the beginning of August, and we're doing a massive Australian tour from August through to Tamworth next year. So you can look on our website, themcclimont.net. It has all of our dates on the website.
I've said it before, but the McClymonts are one of those artists whose album I buy in reputation alone. It's always feel good, and that's one of the things I love about country music. It, you know, if the dog's dead and the tractor's broke, there's always an upside.
Oh, that's really sweet. Oh, that's really a compliment. I'll tell the girls you said that. Well, hopefully you'll love this album. It's, like I said, it's a lot more mellow, but you're a lot more vulnerable. we've been a lot more vulnerable on this album, and as you've heard, the new single Piece of Me is just a little snippet of, you know, what we've been going through in the last couple of years, just personally. So and there's a lot more of that stuff on the album that hopefully you'll just love.
Brooke, thank you so much for your time. I really look forward to seeing you in Australia.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.